Before we open up God's word together, would you please join me in a brief prayer? Mighty God, we've heard the story of the shepherds from long ago who were full of your praises and saying that all they had heard and seen was just as what they had been told. Holy Spirit, we ask that you move among us now, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and the joy of this story, of a celebration from long ago of Christ having come to this world. And may it shape how we live now. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever heard or used the short two-word phrase that is a bit dreaded? It's complicated. Anyone ever had this? How's your son doing in high school? It's complicated. Right? Oh, how's your friend doing? It's complicated. Right? How's it going with your new job? It's complicated. We've had this experience before. It joins with us a little bit of dread, a little bit of fear. We're not quite certain how it's going to go, but it's not as straightforward and as easy as everything's great, everything's wonderful. Now, I don't know about you, but for a long time when I was little, Christmas was pretty straightforward and simple. Someone put me in a car, brought me to Grandpa and Grandma's house. I got to eat a whole bunch of food. Then I got to open presents. Then I got to have dessert. And as long as I wasn't causing problems with my siblings or my cousins, it was pretty simple and straightforward and a pretty great time. Christmas time gets a little bit more complicated the older that we get. Amen? Now you're responsible for getting yourself to someone's house. You have to make sure, some of us, that we bring someone else with us. Sometimes we've got to bring presents that we've thought through and purchased, and now we've wrapped and we have to bring them. And then every once in a while, we're also asked to bring a cheese wheel. And so life gets a little bit more complicated around Christmas time. We'd like to think that it's as simple and as joyful as it's always been, but we know the reality is it can be a bit more challenging. I remember being about 14 or 15 years old and starting to recognize that Christmas time wasn't always as simple and as joyful and as straightforward as I always thought it was. What's happened to my cousin that he's not going to be at Christmas this year? How come I haven't seen that uncle for a couple of years? Christmas time can get complicated. It can be a reflection of the challenges that we face in our everyday life. And the reality is that sometimes life gets more complicated. And we can point to other people, we can point to circumstances that we face, but it's also the case that sometimes Christmas time and life in general gets more complicated, and it's because of us. It's because of something that we've said, something we've done, something that we've left undone that we should have taken care of. That sometimes life gets complicated, and it's because of my own behavior. For some of us, too, this happens when it comes to understanding of Christ or a relationship with the church, that we've had experiences that are difficult, that are painful. We're not exactly sure what to do, but when asked, are you someone who believes in Christ? Are you a spiritual and a religious person? Our instinct is to say, it's complicated. It's a bit challenging for us. What we're about to read is good news that can cut through a lot of that complication. It might not solve all of the complications instantly for you and I, but it's a reminder that we're not alone in the middle of this, that there is good news that is here. And what we're going to find is that if your Christmas time is a bit complicated this year, you're in good company, because that very first Christmas was pretty complicated too. We're going to read this passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke. Gospel means good news. We're going to talk a little bit about how it was complicated then and there, what it might mean for us and who God is, what we might do going forward. But listen now, these are God's words for us this morning. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's complicated. That first Christmas is really complicated. For one thing, God's people, the Israelites, these Jewish people, are under the control of a Roman Empire. Their personal freedoms, their national autonomy, they don't have it. There is a more powerful entity that is in control over them, that is dictating what will be happening in the future. How do you think a group of people or a person responds to that? What kind of impact does it have on you mentally, emotionally, when you recognize that you're not in control and that there's really nothing you can do? It's complicated. And it's not just that, it's that this empire, then in part of their control, the Caesar says, "Listen, I would like some of your money, I want taxes." So now it's more complicated and they have to travel. Travel in those days, more complicated than it is today. But it isn't just that they have to travel to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph have to travel, and Mary is pregnant. So travel's even more complicated. And it's not just that she's pregnant. Joseph and Mary are pledged to be married to one another, but they're not yet. And she's pregnant now. She's pregnant out of wedlock. And in that culture, and in that society, especially in those circumstances, that's complicated. There's a lot of whispering that could take place and struggles that are happening. That's pretty complicated. But then they at least make it to Bethlehem after having been assured by angels that, yes, in fact, this is of God. So Joseph and Mary have both been reassured that this birth is coming from Christ. Now, because of that, because of those complications, because of their travel, they finally make it to Bethlehem, but there is no room for them, which we were reminded by our children this morning. There's no room for Mary and Joseph. And so she gives birth a ways away from where she and Joseph were living in Bethlehem, probably near a stable, and she places her child in a feeding trough. In a manger. It's complicated. This is no ordinary child. It's supposed to be the Savior of the world, and there is no room for them in the inn, and they've traveled because of the census, and their taxes have to be taken, and they're under their control. The first Christmas is complicated. And perhaps that's an assurance for us. It's a reminder to us that God doesn't make everything perfect, and then he shows up. He steps into the middle of the complications with us and for us. That this is part of the good news of the gospel, that God is orchestrating everything to come about in the way that he has set forth. Yes, his people are controlled by the Romans. But there's a reminder in here that God is this all-powerful being over even this empire, and that he's orchestrated the Caesar and, in fact, the governor of Syria and all of these things to take place to bring about his plan that a Savior would, in fact, be born in Bethlehem, which is just what he has said. That this Savior comes about, that this census, this travel, are reminders to us that even in the mundane complications, when we need to travel, when we have to pay taxes, that yes, God is at work even in the mundane and simple things. He's there among us. That this birth comes about, there's celebration that takes place, and that Jesus is not born in a palace to dozens of servants surrounded by kings and queens. He's born, he's placed in a manger. It's a simple place where he is born, a simple town, with the first followers of Christ, those who have first heard the news, being shepherds. And shepherds are simple people. They're on the lower end of the social and economic totem pole. Those are the first ones who hear. And so there's a reminder that Christ has come for all, not just a privileged few. This is good news. In the midst of these complications, there's good news over and over and over again. And this is the message of Christmas. We remember that Christ was born. We remember the details of where he was born, of how he was born. We think about all those things. Our children remind us of the story. We tell that. But here's the main message of Christmas. It's good news. That in the middle of complications, Christ has come. That's the good news of the gospel. That this all took place to remind us that God loves us and leads us. A little bit later, after Luke has written his gospel, a man named John writes his own. John was someone who, after Christ grew up and began teaching and healing people and telling them of God's great love for them and about his life and that he was going to die and rise again, John writes his own gospel. And in that gospel, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Sometimes, in the midst of the most difficult complications, times when things are really dark and dreary, it can feel like perishing. But the good news of the gospel is that God loved us and loved the world to come into it, to send Jesus to be here, to lead us, to guide us. And then ultimately, to die for us. See, some of those complications that we have are because of our own sins, our own shortcomings, doing what we want as opposed to doing what God has called us to do. Where Jesus' instruction to love the Lord with all our heart and then love our neighbors as ourselves, when we fail in those things, we hurt others. Those complications, those sins, that's why Christ died and rose again. The good news of the gospel is in the midst of the complications, Christ came. He arrived. And that didn't mean that it immediately was made all better. But there's something wonderful about remembering that our God is not a far-off God. That our God is a great creator who has made all these things and has made each and every one of us. That he knows us by name. That he has a plan for each and every one of our lives. That Christ can be our Lord and Savior, and we can give our lives to following after him. There's something about remembering that in the midst of the complications, Christ came, and he does so for you and I, that is encouraging, that is comforting, that leads and guides us. About 40 years ago or so already, I'm getting old. Anyone else feel like you're getting old? About 40 years ago or so, it was either first or second grade. I think it was first grade. So it would have been about 6 or 7 years old. I went to school like I normally went to school. And I went to go play at recess with my friends. But I hadn't been feeling well. So I went back into the school building during recess. Now you know I'm not feeling well, right? And I went to the bathroom, and I was sick. And it was gross, and it hurt, and I felt bad, and I got a little dirty, and I tried to clean myself up. And the bell rang. So I went back to class, and I thought, I hopefully, I'll be okay now. I wasn't. I didn't feel good. I went and told the teacher, and she said, we'll go back to the bathroom. So I, you know, hurried off and found my way there, and I was sick again. And after a minute or two, she came in to check on me. And she knew that I wasn't feeling well, and all I could think was, wow, my teacher, Mrs. Johnson, is in the boys' bathroom right now. Like, this is a traumatic thing for us. This is complicated, right, at 6 years old. She told me that they were going to have the office call my parents and someone was going to come get me. But all my little six-year-old mind could think about was how complicated this was. See, I was really sick, but I was also scared. See, the days leading up to this day, I hadn't exactly been a model son or older brother. My relationship with my mom and dad was complicated at that point. And I was worried about what schoolwork I was going to miss. And I got on the bus at the end of the day, but who was going to get my younger brother onto the bus at the end of the day? And would my mom and dad be mad at me because they had to come get me? And what was going to happen with all these things? And I'm dirty, and I'm a mess, and I don't feel good. And, you know, you're 42, and you think back on that, and you go, it wasn't a big deal. But when you're six, it's complicated, and you're sick, and you're scared. My dad pulled up in our maroon Buick Skylark, and I don't know how I got into the car. I don't know if he had to come in and sign me out, or if because it was the late 80s, the teacher or the person in the office just said, just go to the car. I don't know, but I remember getting into the vehicle, and my dad asking me how I was, and crying and being upset because it was complicated, and I was sick, and I was scared. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but I feel like I remember him rubbing me on the head and telling me it was going to be okay. And he buckled me in, and he drove me home, and he got me cleaned up, and he took care of me. I wasn't immediately feeling better because he picked me up. Not all of the complications and problems were automatically gone, but there was this moment of realization that it's so much better now because he's come to get me. No matter what else is going to happen, it'll be okay. It's part of the message of the gospel, the good news of Christmas. Our lives, this world, it's complicated. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ has come into the middle of this complication, that he's with us, and he loves us, and he guides us. That's the good news of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that whatever complicated matters we might find ourselves in, that you came, that we celebrate Advent, your arrival, that we know that not everything is automatically fixed, but Lord, we pray that you would once again show us your love and your grace, that if it's been a while, we'd invite you into our hearts and into our lives, into our celebration at Christmas, into every day that we face, that we might learn from you, Jesus, how to love others, how to love the Lord, how to care for people around us, that we could be a presence in the lives of those who need you and need care. Lord, we're complicated, and Christmas time can be complicated. But we thank you for cutting through all of that and coming here to earth. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.